Welcome to Security Guy Radio, sir. What's your name?
Imad Moulin. I'm with Everbridge.
And Everbridge.com, that's how we find you?
Everbridge.com, absolutely.
And what does Everbridge do?
So we're a global software as a service company. We do critical communications and enterprise safety applications as well. So we basically keep people safe and keep businesses running.
Now, let's boil that down to something very specific. An enterprise safety application would mean what? Is this something that's over your entire enterprise and you come in and you're watching systems, you're watching my software, making sure people aren't penetrating? Is that what you guys do?
So let me break it down.
Yeah.
We do really four things. The first is assess. We assess the situation. We give you data feeds that help you see what's going on, whether it's a weather feed that may tell you that your facilities or people are in harm's way, whether it's a social media feed that's analyzed to tell you that there may be a protest that's brewing outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whether it's somebody's
bad-mouthing your company or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether it's a situational awareness feed that tells you that maybe that there is a bad traffic accident outside or a hazardous material spill. So the idea is assess the situation as quickly as possible and alert the appropriate people to come in and take a look. So that's first and foremost. The next thing is to locate people. And locate people can mean many different things. So first, it's who is in harm's way, right? So who's in that building, for example, if you have an active shooter or if you have a hazardous material spill. In that particular case, you need to know who it is that you're going to evacuate.
That's
right.
You
have people from a different building, from a different office.
Visitors.
Who's traveling. Visitors.
Yeah.
Employees who are coming in from the West Coast, if you're on the East Coast. The idea is you can't really waste time trying to figure out who is impacted, and you can't waste time trying to figure out who the responders are going to be. They may not be in that building. Who has the right skill sets?
Right.
Who's the closest? So that's the second thing. So you've assessed the situation, then you've located the people who are in harm's way, the people who need to be informed, the people who are responding. The third thing that we need to do is automate, right? You need to automate your protocols. Do you have a plan if you have an active shooter? What is that plan? What does it entail? You can't be thinking about it in the midst of a crisis.
No, it's got to, parts of it and components have to move immediately and automatically. That's right.
Exactly.
Right.
And then you have to make certain decisions, like is the situation dire enough that it requires, you know, waking up the boss at 3 a.m., calling his or her home, for example? Is the situation dire enough that it's all hands on deck? How do you know? Well, again, depending on the protocol, if you have it and you automate it, you're simply inputting the situation into the system and it takes care of everything else, whether it's escalations, whether it's evacuations, whether it's making decisions to shut down, for example, a plant because you've got a tornado that's about to make landfall. You only have 6 minutes, no time to think, you got to do it. And then the last step is communication, right? And communication can be anything from a small team, you know, who are the responders who have the right skill sets and are close by. You need to go and get to them as quickly as possible. You need to have at least three people. If you don't get to them, then you need to escalate to have the core team. Or it can be hundreds of thousands of people who are in harm's way that all need to be reached, and you need to be able to account for every single one of them.
Now, you get a big enterprise company, 100,000 people. How do you do that? It's impossible. Right now, but not with Everbridge.
Not with Everbridge.
That's right.
That's exactly it. Then just imagine that it's 100,000 people or 200,000 people, and they're distributed. They're in multiple buildings. They're actually across multiple countries.
Right.
They might be traveling. So you need to be able to do all of that and do it extremely quickly and hear back from everybody. Who's safe? Who's not in the area that you thought they were in? Who needs help? Not only that, but you may have people who are, shall we say, you know, on the ground, near the situation. They can be feeding you information and giving you information that you may not be getting from any other source.
Right.
That may inform and direct your decisions.
I'll take two of them. I love it. It's
absolutely
great. Well, you know, I worked at Fox and Disney. We had a lot of numbers of employees in a lot of places. We kind of had to do all this stuff manually. We just had to know who to call. And we had to, if somebody got lost, and one day an employee in Disney got in trouble in Tibet. And we couldn't find him. And we had to call the American Council to get in there and the embassy and do something about it, right? But a lot of work and not always successful because it wasn't automated. We didn't have all this stuff at our fingertips. This is brilliant. I'm really, really amazed that you guys have put this together and wired this together. It seems very unique. I see a lot of products. I see a lot of people doing a lot of things. this one seems different. Are you pretty much in this space by yourself right now?
We believe so. We believe that we're the really first people to have brought all these things together.
Yeah.
So, for example, for locating people, right? Sure, you can locate people through an app, and you can see a lot of people who have apps or a lot of providers with apps. But to bring in travel itinerary information automatically, to bring in an application with location services, to integrate physical access control systems so that when somebody swipes a badge, well, you know they're in that office,
right.
To bring in network access, so if somebody is logging into their corporate network, you know which office they're in, all of that seamlessly, automatically, so that employees don't feel like they have to do something else.
Now, who usually owns this process? Does it reside in HR? Does it reside in corporate security or legal? Where does Everbridge reside in a corporation?
For this particular application, which we call Safety Connection, it does reside in security. But typically, there's going to be a collaboration with HR.
Right.
In some cases, even the business continuity guys will actually use us as well, because it's not just about the keeping people safe, it's also about keeping businesses running. What are the events, for example, the incidents that may cause harm, not necessarily to the employees, but to the business, slow it down. For example, slow down a supply chain, make sure that everything is still running the way
right.
that it should be, so that when you're locating the right people who can come in and fix a situation, that allows you to ensure that the business is still running, that there are no disruptions. You're calling on the right people with the right skill sets to come in and fix the situation.
Now,
you're keeping management apprised of what's going on.
It's interesting you say it resides with security. Years ago, I would say that'll never happen. It would have been owned by legal or HR.
Yeah.
Because of proprietary information. Now, I'm from California.
Yeah.
And everything's private and everything's protected. It's much more complicated compliance-wise, right? And I understand that we can give permissions, you know, security can own it, and there can be access from HR, access from legal. How are you finding that security protects their brand and protects the employee information? Because some employees become uncomfortable if security knows where they are, what they're doing, as opposed to HR knowing where they are and what they're
sure.
doing. HR is kind of assumed to know that. Security's like, oh, I'm in trouble if security knows. So that's a cultural shift. How do you guys handle that?
Well, I'm going to make it even more complicated for you.
Okay.
Right, because it gets far more complicated if you're dealing with a multinational corporation
exactly.
that has people not just in the U.S. or Canada, but also in the U.K. or Germany.
Oh, Germany. Their
or
rules
France,
are impossible.
Et cetera.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there are rules, but there's also a certain cultural difference.
Right.
What's expected, what you can do after hours versus during work hours. So the way to solve it is to ensure that you have the right level of access control. So, for example, you as an employee may put or input personal data into the system. Let's say something as simple as your cell phone number.
Well, I can
it's
opt
a personal
in.
Cell
I can opt
number.
In on some levels.
Yeah, you can
okay.
opt in. You're putting in your cell phone number. However, your manager cannot go into the system to find out what your cell phone number is, so they can call
oh,
you.
Oh, that's good.
They can use the system
yeah.
to send you a message, which is then logged.
Right.
We know who sent it, what it was, when it was sent. But the manager cannot go in and simply say, I'm going to look up that number
well,
and then go
great.
And
so
use my
it's
cell
blind
phone.
One way. That's fabulous.
Exactly.
Right.
And everything is tracked as to who's doing what, when, under what circumstances. Furthermore, if you use the automated incident communications capabilities to automate your protocols, you're not even picking and choosing individual people to communicate with. You're simply activating a protocol.
Right.
And that protocol then makes a determination.
Protocol's part of policy.
Exactly.
And policy's been approved.
Exactly.
Supposedly. Most of
hopefully.
The time.
Hopefully
yeah.
you have that plan.
Exactly right.
And that protocol yeah. determines who the responders are, who the impacted people are, who the people who are that need to be informed and kept in the loop, and then will communicate with them across multiple simultaneous workflows, an initial communication, updates on an ongoing basis, close out the incidents when it's over. You get all that information for after action reviews afterwards, see what worked, what didn't, who responded quickly, who didn't, so you can get better.
How do you price this? Per module, per employee, how does it price out? Can only a big company afford it?
No, absolutely not. It's priced along three axes. The first one is just the number of people, places, and things that are under management, right? The second one is the types of modules that you have. And then there are a few premium features, such as some of the feeds from third-party partners, et cetera, that are coming in.
What's your smallest company size-wise?
Smallest?
100 employees or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got 100,000 employees, so it's scalable.
Actually, far more than that.
Oh, okay.
So we have some of the largest companies in the world use the system. And then we actually have entire states that use it to protect their employees. For example, the state that we're in right now, right? The entire state is, in a way, on the system.
Well, I want you to send a notification to the guys at the back loading dock here.
Okay.
And tell them to let me in next time. All right. Put them on the system and say, Chuck wants to bring his stuff in here. You can't stop him. He'll have to walk all the way around.
I wish I could do that, but I don't have access to the system.
There you go.
Perfect. Even though it's software as a service.
Iman, thanks for coming on Security Guy.
Thank you very much.
Give us your website again,
everbridge.com. Everbridge.com.
Fabulous product. It's one of my favorites, I got to say. This is
really
fascinating.
Thank you very much.
Guys really thought this through. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.